You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. Pacers finally get back on track, defeating the Chicago Bulls. We're here to talk about it. As always, I am one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News, and over at 8.9 seconds, on the line to join me. I feel like this game merits talking about because somehow the Pacers can never just beat the Bulls. Something has to happen every time. VJ Vimu from Bloggable, the SB Nation Bulls site. VJ, man, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. It was actually a really good game of basketball, which is pretty surprising because that's just how, the Bulls and the Pacers, like we talked about on Twitter, they always play these weird games.
Well, so last time they played was that crazy overtime game where LaVine hit the buzzer beater that didn't count and the Pacers won by three. And I remember your exact tweet was something like, perfect game for the Bulls. It was awesome and fun, and they lost.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about tanking, and like even though winning is fine, like, you know, they kind of need some of these tank games to happen through, and you're just looking for a good effort from this team. You're just looking for positives, which I think we kind of saw tonight.
Positives, they're winning. Otto Porter helping them win games.
Yeah,
Pacers handed them their first Otto Porter playing loss tonight, correct?
Yeah, they did. So, you know, the streak's over, the magical run to the title.
So I sneakily wasn't looking at the box score the whole game. It's a new thing I'm doing. Don't check any box score till after the game. It's very hard, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know plus minuses and stuff, and I never checked during the game. I check after now to find out that Robin Lopez had 20 points, and I watched the entire game, and I thought Robin Lopez probably had about 7 points. Talk to me about Robin Lopez and how he was able to take over this game, because I thought Miles Turner played pretty well. It's just Robin Lopez had a good game.
Yeah, Miles Turner played fantastic. He seemed to, like, block everything in sight. And, like, for the first couple of them, it seemed that, like, everything that he blocked would just magically end up back in the Bulls' hands. And it seemed like the only way they would score is that, like, Miles Turner would block it, and then they would score. So it's sort of like a rite of passage. But, like, that's just how Robin Lopez has been in, like, this past week. Like, Chicago's just been feeding him the ball so many times, and he's just been basically unstoppable inside the paint. Like, these hook shots that he takes, like, always seems to be at, like, the perfect angle where it just swishes in. He was 9 of 18 from the field.
18
shots. That's actually the crazy thing about this Bulls team is that, like, usually every night, like, we would see, like, I would, like, make this example, like, the Pacers with, like, Victor Oladipo when he was there, like, he would get the most shots. Like, you knew he was getting the most shots. You don't know about that with this Bulls team, especially, like, when it comes to after LaVine. Like, this is always a toss-up, which is really weird considering that, like, to be honest, there's, like, two better offensive players than Robin Lopez. But for some reason, the Bulls just keep feeding Robin Lopez, which I'm fine with. He's a nice player. But at the same time, like you said, like, he shouldn't be taking 18 shots a game.
18 shots. And I have two Robin Lopez thoughts. One is serious, one is not serious. What order do you want to go in here? I'll let you
play. Let's go serious and then not serious.
Serious first. Okay. Robin Lopez is the type of guy who just murders Miles Turner. Guys who crush the offensive glass make him look bad because his weakness is defensive rebounding half of the time because he's just not good at boxing out. In this game in particular, there was a play. They force a miss, and then Wayne Selden scoops in out of nowhere, gets two double-tap offensive rebounds over Turner just right in front of him and put the second one up and in. It's just not his thing at just getting his butt into dudes. Robin Lopez, meanwhile, is the opposite, where every time a shot goes up, he's clearing out like four guys from the paint. So Miles Turner is usually the victim of those. I always expect Robin Lopez to play at least decently against the Pacers. Lo and behold, six offensive rebounds and 20 points in this game. Non-serious Robin Lopez thought, does that dude have back problems? Because he looks like he's, like, hunched over all the time when he's, like, moving around. And I don't know if he's okay.
Obviously, I don't have, like, the insider sources on Robin Lopez. I don't know exactly what's wrong with his back. But I do know that, like, most of the time when he is on, like, on the bench, like, he won't actually sit on the bench. Like, he'll be sitting down, like, on the floor. So I think it's pretty wild, actually, because, like, usually when, like, the Bulls start celebrating, like, baskets, like, Ryan Arcidakna will sprint off, like, will, like, jump out of his seat, and then, like, it'll just be him standing and, like, Rolo sitting down, and they'll just be, like, you know, like, putting up, like, you know, the three ball sign and stuff like that. So it's kind of funny to look at that. But, like, to go off the point you talked about when it comes to rebounding, he's an amazing rebounder, and it's done so much for Lauri Markkanen in terms of rebounding when Rolo's on the court. Like, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but, like, Lauri Markkanen's rebounds when Rolo is on the court is like vastly different than when Rolo's off the court. Because like you said, like every time a shot goes up, Rolo just boxes out. He like, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where like everyone else is, like he'll just box out. And it does so well for everyone else because it opens up lanes for guys to just come in and get these offensive rebounds.
Nah, Lowry did not play a great game.
Yeah.
He did hit the glass, like you just said. I agree that you know, Robin Lopez grabs Thaddeus Young and Miles Turner by the throats and just says, all right, Lowry, go get it. But then Thad Young would recover and Lowry had no answer. Didn't he not score or not shoot? Maybe I have this wrong. Maybe he didn't score or shoot. I don't remember. I think it's score. Until like 40 seconds left for the entire second half. Like
yeah. And I think it's around that time. I'm pretty sure. I would have to, I would assume so.
Thad had his lunch. Veteran, baby. Love the vets.
Yeah. Bulls need a lot more vets. Lauri Markkanen did not score until he made his first free throw with 45.7 left. So he made 2 points in the fourth quarter, I think. So that's nice. But it's been a weird trend with Markkanen sometimes. Like he's had a great February. Like he's shooting lights out. Like he looked like, you know, a completely different player. But there's also times where him especially, he'll just like phase himself out of the offensive game. It's not okay. Phase himself out is actually kind of the wrong word, but it's sort of that's just like he just like disappears. And sometimes in the second half, and he doesn't get touches. Like he just won't get touches either. So like you said, like you know, Thad Young. Like he ate Markkanen's lunch, and this is a learning experience for Markkanen. Like although he got a double double, he increased his streak. He went 4-14 from the field and 1-7 from 3-point line. Like that can happen. If the Bulls want to, you know, to keep making these games close. And Otto Porter went 3-11 too, so you know he's kind of bad tonight too.
Yeah, not great. The Pacers D was really good.
Yeah, they were exceptional.
17 points allowed in the first quarter. That might be wrong. I'm pretty sure.
It was 17. It was 17.
Okay. Well, now I'm tripping myself up because I was reading about the game, and someone said it was 33-17, and I think that was the score at one point in the game. But I vividly remembered it being 27-17 after the first quarter. I was like, wait, am I wrong or is this wrong? And then I checked and they were both right. Sorry. So now I'm tripped up about the scores. Okay, yeah, 17 at the end of the first quarter. And then the second quarter defense for the Pacers was pretty good too. But like you already mentioned, the Bulls offense for a quality 4 minutes of basketball was shoot, let Miles Turner block said shot, recover the offensive rebound from said block, and then score. And it held them in the game for a crazy amount of time. But Turner finishes this game, career high 7 blocks. He's over 160 on the year now. I don't have the numbers in front of me because I'm lazy, but I think he could have a chance to be franchise record holder for the Pacers at the end of the year, which is pretty crazy. But I don't think Turner was the most impressive Pacer, and I have an answer myself. But I'm going to lob to you because you watch the Bulls every time. You don't watch the Pacers so much. What Pacer impressed you the most in this game? Because there were some good performances all around.
I can't say Doug McDermott because we only saw like 13 minutes of Doug McDermott. So, no, but in all seriousness, Bogdanović, right? Bojan Bogdanović. I think he's been exceptional. Like, I mean, I liked him last year playing. Obviously, like, I watched a lot of the Pacers when they played against the Cavs in the playoffs. So, he played really well. I think he's really good off the ball when he moves and he cuts, which is against this Bulls defense where there's, like, you know, there's some guys who just, like, have, like, this switch off and the ball's not in front of them. I think he really took advantage of that, and he's really – crafty in the way he works. I think he was the best player on the court tonight, and he's been stepping up now without Oladipo.
He had 21.3 points per game in February.
Oof, jeez.
Wow, right?
Yeah.
If Vic gets hurt in mid-November, first of all, the Pacers would not have this good of a record, but Bojan might be like all-star or MIP consideration.
Yeah, I mean, he was good tonight. He was really good tonight.
It's so weird because like Porter is a guy that I'm like, yeah, Porter can guard Bojan. Like Porter, Porter pays attention away from the ball and like is a good basketball player, and it just didn't happen. I was stunned.
Yeah,
but this is just what Bojan is now.
He's like you said, he could be an MIP candidate. Like if this happened in like early like November, and he's been keeping this up.
Yeah, and people were paying attention and said just like, oh my God, De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah,
I mean they're obviously they're more improved. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I wrote about Darren Collison yesterday, so I have – well, yes, yesterday, because he's coming out tomorrow. Look at me go. I wrote about Darren Collison yesterday, so I have to give him the honorable mention here. He had 9 points right away, or 8 points right away, really on in the first quarter to get them ahead. I think what started off at like 17-5. Mm-hmm. He finished with 22 And unfortunately, more turnovers than assists, which was a major talking point for me and my why Darren Collison is so good thing. But the team, the Pacers were a team best plus 12 with Darren Collison on the court. Corey Joseph actually kind of struggled in this game with his herky-jerky, nonsensey crap, not falling. His defense on Archie Diacono, my favorite name to say, probably all of basketball, was pretty solid. But when his herky-jerky floater, man, that's fun to say, is fine. You got to have DC over there. And DC stepped up. I was very happy with the starters in general, considering the Bulls are not a very deep team. If you beat their starters, I think you win, and they did.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, your bench did great. Like, you know, everyone except for, like, what, Kyle Quinn was like a positive. And you look at the Bulls, like, the only guy plus was, like, Ryan Arcidiacono, which is, like, basically, like, just the consensus of this Bulls bench. Like, other than, like, Wayne Seldon and Arcidiacono, and maybe Shaq Harrison. I don't know if any of these guys are even going to be on the roster next year.
Wow.
So, I mean, because, like,
how do they not have Felicio next year?
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, Azul, yeah, Felicio will be back. But, like, if his contract wasn't, like, structured the way it is, like,
they're paying a million points per minute for this.
Yeah,
game.
Exactly. I love the guy. I will always be a Cristiano Felicio stan. I'll never forget that, like, one game against the LeBron-led Cavs. He had, like, 17. It was amazing. But I think, like, they seriously need to start looking at some upgrades, obviously, in the summer. And, like you said, like, anytime you beat the Bulls starters and you have their second units out there, like, if you even have like a competent second unit, you're gonna blow these guys out of the water. And it was true, like in the second quarters and like even early in the fourth quarter, like the Bulls just did not have it going, and you can just see on the court like the vast difference in talent.
Yeah, I don't even think the Pacers played like so well. Like their defense was pretty good, you know, holding any team to 96 in this NBA, whatever you want to call it, is impressive, even in the slow pace of the game. But like their 105 was kind of gross, you know. If they didn't shoot above their average from three, I think this game looks like 96-100 or something. Just like, what was their first game? 97-95 in Chicago. I think it ends up looking a lot like that one.
Yeah.
If we don't have an explosion from three, but I'm glad you talked about the future of the Bulls, because this game is what it is. It was a slogfest.
Yeah.
There it is. That's literally the opposite. That's one foul away. That's this game was a slogfest where, outside of the two we talked about, Boyan and DC and Miles setting his block record and not being good at anything else, nobody was really like so awesome. LaVine dunked on Turner, but I don't want to talk about that. nobody was like so awesome in this game that I'm like, we have to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk more about the Bulls because they're in the Central Division, which is the Pacers division, of course. First time since they said it on the broadcast, I'm going to get it wrong, early 2000s, I think they said 2004, that the Pacers have swept the Bulls, which is just crazy to me considering they play a bunch every year, but I guess that makes sense. So that shows how low the Bulls are this year. I mean, 18-47, obviously Zion's the goal, but given the new flattened lottery odds, you have to be tepid in your expectations of that. Zion or no Zion, what is coming up the pipeline for the Bulls next year?
I think they're going to be a much better team. Obviously, you're missing Wendell Carter Jr., so I think that's, that's going to be a big part of, like, you know, your core piece moving forward. And for me, like, I really can't make a general consensus on the Bulls moving forward until these 2 dates pass, which is basically the draft lottery and the draft, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Because I'm not looking forward to free agency at all, because, you know, they basically took themselves out of the free agency with the Otto Porter deal. And, like, if we're being honest, like, they weren't going to get anyone anyway. So it was better that they filled this cap space with a guy like Otto Porter rather than, like, you know, taking like a wild swing on a free agent, because I think that's what we might see, is that there's so many guys in free agency that like teams will be willing to take another big swing, and we might have like another like a series summer. of these really bad contracts that we saw. I think I forgot what year was it, 2016. But I really can't make a consensus. I'm a little bit more optimistic than I was at the beginning of the season, because obviously we had like the mutiny and everything, and it was just such a big mess. But Porter has been a nice addition. Mark Laurie has shown great signs of life. LaVine continuing to score. He's been much more efficient. I mean, obviously these past three games after that quadruple overtime, he's looked gassed.
Oh man,
yeah, it was crazy to watch. But I think that if they can, like, you know, strengthen their bench even a little bit, and if they get a guy like Zion or Ja Morant, or even maybe, like, you know, if they land someone outside of maybe, like, let's say they get, like, the fourth pick, and, like, Morant's off the board, Zion's off the board, I would be fine if they trade down and try to get more assets back.
Yep.
Like, to be honest, like, like if I like if I was like thinking like for the Bulls, it's like either you get one or two or you trade down. Like if you don't get the first two picks, then you trade down. I can see them taking Morant with the second pick. I'm not really a big fan on RJ. Neither am I a fan.
You're talking to an RJ fan here.
See, I'm a little bit out on RJ.
I think there's a clear top three, but I understand that for the Bulls, especially with Morant because of the point guard.
Yeah, exactly. And then Reddish, I still have his concerns too. So I might trade out of that spot if I'm the Bulls. Look to, like, you know, hope like a team's willing like to trade away something to get RJ or Cam. But I'm a little more optimistic than I was. Let's say they do, you know, cross their fingers, they land Zion. I think they could make at least a decent – I'm not going to say they will make the playoffs. I think they'll make a decent push for that eighth seed, which is, like, all I could ask for from given how these past two seasons have gone.
I love Lowry, and I think Levine's fun. And, I think they'd be really fun with Zion in that way. I think it'd be cool. But as a Central Division foe, I cannot, in good faith, Zion Williamson is for the next 8 years. So Cavs and Bulls, please do not luck into the first pick. The Cavs don't deserve it, man. The Cavs.
Yeah, if there's a team who deserves to, like, you know, luck out in the NBA lottery again, it's the Chicago Bulls.
It is the Bulls. But really though, like, this is the first year of like true tanking, right? Like,
yeah. Last year was really, really tanking. I think this year they actually believe that they were kind of like, I think the Bulls,
oh,
like,
man. Some people were like, for that. I remember that before the year, you're right.
Yeah, like this was like, we weren't supposed to be tanking, which is really funny if you like look at like, if you like document like just exactly how the season has gone, it looks like a tanking year, but it's really funny at the beginning of the season because like everyone was just like, oh, like, well, not everyone, but like some people were just like, oh, like, you know, like Levine's gonna take this huge leap, Lowry's gonna take this huge leap, Wendell Carter's here, like, you know, we still believe in Chris Dunn, and like, you know, the bench isn't that bad. Like Jabari's gonna, like, it's gonna turn around for Jabari, Bobby Portis, and all, and then they just absolutely just did not work out at all. But credit to the Bulls for trading away both Jabari and Bobby Portis. They got a really good value deal back in Otto Porter. I think this summer, if all goes well, who knows? The Bulls could be a team to watch out for.
I think they have decent space in 2020, right?
Yeah, they do have decent space in 2020. But the thing is, I just don't know, given Chicago's free agent history, if they're going to be able to attract.
I meant that as a leapfrog into like, if you get Zion, like that's such an attractive spot.
For sure. Yeah. Also, if you do get Zion, but at the same time, like, I think it's also decent because you're also willing to take like cap space.
Yeah.
So I do believe that, like, Let's say by 2020, they're like, oh, look, like, we're still not good enough. Maybe if you have that cap space, like, you know, try to get first round picks back. Like, that's the name of the game.
That it is. Pacers won't do it, but everyone else seems to be doing it. Pacers haven't picked inside the top 10 since 1989. Do you know that?
Actually, I did not know that.
Well, wild stat.
That's amazing considering the Bulls have been seventh round pick for the past 2 years.
Yeah, well, now you have fun guys at the top, so it is what it is. Mm-hmm. The future of the Bulls is much more fun to talk about than the present Bulls, if I do say so myself. Because it's mentioning Zion. This is the first time we've gotten to talk about Zion on the show.
Really?
Wow. The Pacers aren't going to get the first pick, and they're not going to trade up.
Neither talk about it with like any of the Knicks guys or anything?
Like, who have I had on for the Knicks this year? I can't remember who I had on for the Knicks this year. But no, the answer is no, we did not. I don't even know if we had a Knicks guest. We're just like, they're too boring. Like, Porzingis isn't playing, and they're just boring.
Yeah, I guess so. That's what it is. Like, when a team's bad and you don't have, like, the hope of, like lottery odds to sell, like, it's really tough. Like, that's coming from a guy who covers the Bulls. Like, it's, like, even though, like everyone's like, oh, tank for Zion, like, there's this, like, there's a really good chance they don't land Zion. Like, this is, like, a pipe dream, like, that, like, even though, like, I was...
Oh, being, it's, like under 20% they get.
Yeah, the same thing I was thinking about, like, with Luka. Like, the Bulls had even worse odds to land Luka than they did Zion, and I'm still, like, not as thrilled about
it. Did you listen to Maury and Zach Lowe?
Yeah. I have to get to it.
They talked about selling hope, how it's a big deal.
It is a big deal, I feel like. I was actually, like, I was listening to a soccer pod, and they said, like, the biggest thing supporters can get behind is you have something to build for the future, even if your team's not winning now.
Don't listen to Maury and Lowe if you're into soccer.
I did hear about the soccer's picks. That was outrageous.
Daryl Morey wants 7-on-7 soccer with hockey subs.
I don't think. Can you imagine hockey subs? I'm just thinking. Usually, no. Juventus fan. Like, can you just imagine this? Like, Allegri just has like Chiellini at like on like the pitch line, just waiting to like run in and slide tackle a guy.
Well, lo and behold, though, my beloved Newcastle would have been great in their peak season of my lifetime with hockey subs. You know.
Oh yeah, they would have. That would.
They had a great 10, and then. They had no one after that.
7-on-7. That would.
So they would have been great in 7-on-7.
So basically, he said he wanted to shorten the field and make it 7-on-7. So basically, he wants to make it indoor soccer. Is this what
he wants? Indoor, yes. He wants more goals. He wants indoor.
Yeah. Just don't have any out of bounds. Then what are we doing?
Well, futsal, right? Futsal has out of bounds and is indoor.
Yeah, I think so.
You can rock with it. This is great. This is the content. That the people all right, I don't have anything else. This game was just a standard bet. It's weird to say that, but this game was just like a standard basketball game.
Yeah, it was. It just like the better team over like the time like showed it was better. Like this, the worst team battled back in the second quarter, and then you know they made a run for it in the third, and then like the fourth quarter came.
They were winning. That's the only non-standard thing in this game.
Yeah, the Bulls came and took the lead. And I was like, wow. And then all of a sudden, like the Pacers just ripped out on that 16-0 run. And I was like, oh, you know, saw it coming. Like. Because like it takes so much out of you to make that run, right? And then like maintaining it is just really hard.
Yeah, the mighty 1-point biggest lead for the Bulls. It is what it is. All right, man, I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me, man. It's been a blast.
Yeah, you bet. We're not done yet. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Oh, yes, they can find me at VJVMU, VJVEMU on Twitter.
Though. Request him.
Request, yes. Please do request me. Yes, I'm private for the moment. Yes. But yes, do request me. I usually do accept requests. I kind of inspired for the moment. But you can catch my work at blogable.com. Usually write about a lot of the games. I'm not writing about this game, though, but I will be writing about more games in the future.
And we do have coverage. Great Bulls coverage.
Exactly. We have fantastic Bulls coverage. We tell you what it is. We don't always sell you hope, but at least we're being truthful to you. So
That's how you should be. All right, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man.